Hey, Mark Hamilton here. Hey, I thought I'd just stop in and let you know something that's been very effective in my life. I wanted to share it with you. I call it the power of calm. The power of calm. I first learned about the power of calm when I was a young man. There was a small print shop that I would visit frequently. Back in the day when we had light tables that we would lay up our manuscripts, my books, old technology. But I spent quite a bit of time in that little print shop. And I remember to this day a fellow named Dennis, he was the owner of the print shop, running around, a productive guy, working long hours, work late into the evening, get there early in the morning. But he was always in a panic mode. He was always stressed out, overwhelmed. I realized as I was watching Dennis one late evening, that he will never, ever be more than his little print shop. Because he reached his limit, because he didn't understand or know about the power of calm. He was overwhelmed, panicking, stressed out, anxious, and therefore he never would have more than that little print shop. Admirable, providing a nice value. I appreciated him and his services, but he was at his limit. So I was a young man, and one of my TV shows that I liked to watch was called Dynasty. And on the show was a fellow named Blake Carrington. He was an oil tycoon, very successful, and he always was just so calm in the most stressful situations. Now, I know it's all fiction and all that, but I remember looking at him and then thinking about Dennis Blake. Dennis Blake. And I thought, I need to be Blake Carrington at work. I worked a very stressful job at the time. My desk was piling up. Sort of like Dennis's print shop, piling up with jobs, and he would get confused and lost and panicking over that. My desk was piling up faster than I could get through it. This before I had figured out, discovered, invented the many day system. And I was getting like Dennis. But then overnight, it was just a decision in my head. It was that simple. I said, no, I'm not going to be Dennis anymore. I'm going to be Blake. I'm going to be Blake Carrington. I changed my demeanor. I interacted with people at a completely different level. Very calm, collected, very sincere. And a major change happened with my business, with my personnel. Everything changed just from discovering the power of calm. It's something very powerful in my life. And I've lived my life that way ever since, and I've had other major benefits as a result. So that was in business. That was when I was a young man just getting started. Now, power of calm. It also, I found, was very beneficial in raising my four children and parenting. So, being a writer, I spent a lot of time in coffee shops. It's just a good atmosphere for writers. Back in the day, before there were coffee shops, I would spend time in fast food restaurants such as Carl's Jr. or McDonald's. And I remember sitting in McDonald's, and that's where a lot of families come in, and over again, I would see stressed out parents that would say, throw a tantrum with their children. Of course, the reaction of their children is fear. A child recognizes irrationality when a child sees it, and a child recognizes and is drawn toward rationality when he or she sees it. I would see when these parents, stressed out parents, would go into one of these tantrumy fits where they're yelling at their child or perhaps even giving them a spanking, losing it, so to speak. I mean, it didn't happen a lot, but it happened. And in McDonald's, I'd see that from time to time. And I could see the child just recoil, learn nothing, no lesson learned whatsoever. Just shrivel away from irrationality. And I remember thinking, boy, if they could just be calm and collected and deal with their child on a calm level, the power of calm. Well, that's how I raise my children. And children will respond to, will be drawn to the calm, rational person. I could teach my children any lesson and they would learn the lesson just through the calm message from my voice. That was it. Didn't need to throw a tantrum or lose control. So in parenting, the power of calm is very powerful and effective. It's something to think about. Another place the power of calm has been very beneficial to my life is in the world of investing. I am the major investor in the Grand Canyon Skywalk with my partner at the time, David Jen. David did not plan to have a major partner. He planned to have several small-time partners, but he didn't plan to have a major partner as I became. The reason that he allowed me and wanted me to become a major financial partner was, and he expressed this to me over and over and over again, that he liked having me around because I was such a calm person. There was a lot of stress in building the Grand Canyon Skywalk. A lot of people we had to deal with, a lot of personnel issues that we had to deal with, and he just liked having me around because I was such a calm person who could handle these stressful situations with calm and sincerity. I didn't get riled up. So he just liked having me around. But I didn't have time to just be around unless I could become a major partner investor with him. So that opened up that opportunity for me. Would have never opened up if not for the power of calm. So the power of calm can benefit you in many ways in business, in parenting, in investing, and let me just tell you, in relationships, everything in life, can benefit from this power of calm. So what's the contrary to the power of calm? Well, that would be like Dennis, where you're limited and you've capped yourself out. You can only go so far. That's it. Wherever you're at in your routine rut, perhaps, that's it. You're stuck. That's it. In parenting, you get greater and greater conflicts with your children. They don't really learn the lessons you want them to learn simply with a simple attitude change to the calm, collected, sincere person of power. You know what comes with calm comes power. When you're calm, you carry power. You carry clout. People listen. When you are the opposite of calm, when you're anxious and bothered and panicky, overwhelmed, well, people withdraw, just like the child would at McDonald's. They withdraw, they recoil. They don't want to be with you. They don't want to interact with you. They don't want what you have to offer. So they're shut off to the values you can bring them. And what about in investing? If you don't have a calm, collected mentality, well, you're not making rational decisions. And not only that, but people around you know that. So you lose your power, you lose your clout, you lose your rationality, you lose your ability to do well. So keep that in mind, the power of calm. It's very attractive. People are drawn to it. You will make friends. You will perhaps make a romantic relationship through the power of calm. You will get respect from your children. You will get respect from the world. The power of calm.
Everyone to NeoThink today, your gateway to the forefront of innovation and knowledge. I'm Alicia Rose, an avid reader, and with me is the incredibly insightful Joshua Seymour. Together, we'll embark on a journey where value creation meets entrepreneurial spirit, where intellect booms, and where innovation reigns supreme. In today's episode, we will be spotlighting the 2024 election season, and Joshua and I, your hosts, will also be examining the globalist agenda and share some amazing new need-to-know insights. And this is also going to be a very thought-provoking discussion that promises to expand your horizons. Whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur, a budding innovator, or simply someone with an insatiable thirst for knowledge, we are here to feed your curiosity and ignite your passion for discovery. Joshua, let's get started.
All right. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, Alicia, for that wonderful opening. This is NeoThink Today. We're in season one, and we are on episode two here. If you're just tuning in, you might want to check out the previous one. That video that we played in the beginning, that was The Power of Calm by Mark Hamilton. You can find that on YouTube. And we always like to give a big shout out to Mark Hamilton. Many thanks. For the impact that he's had on the lives of many of us. And if you're not familiar with him, of course, you can check him out on, again, YouTube and social media. But he's most known as the creator and inventor and founder of something called NeoThink. And this program is NeoThink Today. So obviously, it has a lot to do with the idea of NeoThink. And so if you don't know what that is, you'll find out as time goes on. In this program, we are trying to have a balance of tuning in on current events and current situations in our lives and around the world, and making sure that we grab the energy from the current situation and focus on what we want, the desired situation, and then we always have some kind of actions you can take. So it doesn't always follow that like a clean format of segments per se. We do sort of have a flow here, but we may kind of go back and forth a little bit, but you will get basically a mixture of all of that. And the other aspect of what we're doing here is we want you to always get something to improve yourself for the better, including your loved ones, as well as to improve society for the better. And that can take shape in a variety of different ways. As individuals and collectively, we pretty much all want the same things. We all want greater wealth, health, and peace in our lives. I don't think any of you would have a hard time with having a little more dynamically vibrant health and longevity. I think we all want that, right, Alicia?
Definitely.
And so that's obviously connected to health there. And we can all use even more, and our loved ones as well, greater financial independence and wealth creation. We'll talk about how that relates to the concept of value creation today. And emotional well-being, inner joy, and peace, especially in our relationships with other people. We're definitely going to be going right into that today. So you'll probably get a mixture of these kinds of things as time goes on, because these are, you know, the big eternal desires that everyone has. So let's get into our format here, starting off with current events. Last week, last episode, we talked about the solar eclipse, and that turned out to be a big nothing burger, kind of. It was pretty cool. But leading up to the eclipse, there was all of this panic, and I saw so many different things. I was seeing a lot of relationships to biblical prophecy, and I also saw, if you can see on the visual here, if you're listening, you'll just have to imagine, but there was this strip of where it started in North America and then when it would end, and I even saw theories on social media about the earth cracking and a new river being created, like the Mississippi River type of thing in the path of the eclipse. And this is just the latest one. This one was sort of unique in different ways, but eclipses happen all the time. And here is a photo that Alicia found. I don't know, Alicia, if you want to comment on this, but there's some really amazing footage from the eclipses. This one was pretty profound.
This one was from the Getty, and they took it in New York, in the state of New York. And I also heard that while they were taking it, the photographers found out that a couple that had never met before met at the solar eclipse while they were taking this photo. That couple decided that they found true love. But isn't that interesting how
Yeah.
something like that would happen on a total solar eclipse?
Yeah. Eclipsing your life with some true love. That sounds pretty exciting. That's definitely worth talking about. And now I'm wondering how many, relationships maybe got sparked, or maybe toxic relationships ended. So I want to tie this in with what we were just watching with Mark Hamilton. We'll come back to the eclipse a little bit here, but to tie it in with Mark Hamilton, there was a lot of frenzy regarding that. And so if you've ever seen these memes on social media or merchandise, like we're looking at a mouse pad and a shirt here, and I'm sure you've seen things like this, the keep calm meme. So keep calm and relax is kind of the learning experience. Whenever things like that are happening, you don't have to go along with what other people are doing, getting all caught up in the frenzy, in the panic, or whatever kind of emotions that are basically not being calm and relaxed. And these are the kind of memes that I've seen over the years on social media. Keep calm and carry on. Keep calm and be cool. Keep calm and just dance. There's so many of them and all different kinds of products and stuff aside from just the memes. But for us, I think adopting this moniker, keep calm and relax, is a really good way to go about living our lives. And I think Mark Hamilton, in that video that we played in the beginning, he really drove home that point for us. Wouldn't you say, Alicia?
Oh, yes, and I highly agree with him. As a matter of fact, being a parent, I have remained calm under numerous interesting circumstances and did my best to parent as Mark Hamilton outlined in staying calm, because I found out if I didn't stay calm, neither did the child. And boy, then we're both not calm, we're both stressed out, and boy, that just doesn't work out.
Yeah, and Mark gave us a lot of different examples, in business and otherwise. So keep calm and relaxed. Like it sounds good. It sounds like it's beneficial. But now we're going to play a video clip from Uncle Kevin about how this is related to the secret of living longer. And Kevin's going to tell a story about a date that he had one time. So we're going to switch into another video here. And I always we I don't this is we haven't put Uncle Kevin on the show yet. But this one's really going to build on what Mark Hamilton said and drive that point home. I hope you guys are excited and ready. And you might have to adjust your volume up or down as we play these clips here. Alicia, if you can give me a thumbs up that you're seeing the video and that you're hearing the audio.
I can't believe it! I want a vegan! I'm gonna... And she's turning beet red. I don't put anything in my body that's not healthy!
This is the Kevin Trudeau Show.
I am exposing the corruption in government and in major multinational corporations. We're telling you the things that they don't want you to know that will make your life better.
So if you're fanatical, which is what you just said, that means you care too much. And that fanaticism is going to lead to illness in anything. I was on a date years ago with this gal, and I really liked her. We got along well. She really liked me. I thought, anyways, she asked me out. So we went out, and she said, "I'm a vegan." And I said, "Look, this is before veganism was popular. I knew what a vegetarian was. I knew what a lacto-vegetarian was. A vegetarian is somebody who didn't eat meat. They ate vegetables. Anything that wasn't like a living organism was a vegetarian. And then there was a lacto-vegetarian, which meant they could eat milk, but they couldn't eat anything that was a living thing. So they didn't eat crickets or cockroaches or lobster or fish or deer or lamb, anything that was alive, right? But they could eat the living spinach. Okay, but any animal, sentient animal, that was the vegetarian. Vegan is even like worse, or not worse, but more strict against anything animal. right? No animal product at all. Veganism, and that's like the new thing. By the way, I've yet to meet a 100-year-old vegan, just so you know. They don't exist. Anyway, but I have met people who are 100 years old that eat pork every day and smoke non-filter camels and drink vodka. Now, they don't have any teeth, but they're 100 years old. And guess what? They're happy. So I went out with this vegan. I didn't know she was a Nazi vegan. You'll get what I mean in a minute. So we sat there and a guy comes over to, and I picked a particular restaurant that I knew had a lot of vegetables and, you know, you could get vegetarian. They didn't have anything vegan back then, but I'm thinking she should be able to find something she can eat. Other than, you know, give me some celery sticks and carrots. So we sat down. And by the way, I have no judgment if you're a vegan. I have friends of mine who are vegan. We go out, it's like, I'm a vegan. Hey, no problem. Everything's fine. Everything's beautiful. All right. So we sit down, and the waiter comes over, and he said the speciality of the house is the minestrone. The vegetable minestrone soup. There's no meat. It's vegetables only. It's the speciality of the house. It is spectacular. I said, fine. It's vegetables only, no meat? No meat. Okay, we'll have two of those. She orders like a salad and a pasta primavera or whatever it is. Of course, I order something that I know will really piss her off, veal. You know, a calf, a little baby cow. Because if that pisses her off, then I'm out the door. So I order like veal parmesan. So the minestrone soup comes, and we both have the minestrone soup, and we're both going, oh, man, fantastic. Wow, this is amazing. Oh, this is like the best I've ever had in my life. And she's like, this is the best I've ever had in my life. It's so delicious. Oh, I feel so good eating it, knowing it's vegetarian. I feel so good. You know, it's so different because, you know, when it's vegetarian, it just makes you feel so different. And I can taste the love and the vegetables. It's just so wonderful. I go, yeah, all I know is it tastes good. And I put a little Romano cheese on it. She didn't because she's vegan. I thought that helped. But it was delicious. So the guy comes over and he goes, how's the soup? I go, you were right, it's spectacular. What's the secret? I'm thinking he's going to say, well, we roast the vegetables first and get a nice char on them before we blend them. Who knows what he's going to say? He says, oh, the secret is we make our own homemade chicken stock here from the bones of chicken. It's like 18 hours, and that's what we use as the base. So it's not vegan, right? She goes ballistic. I can't believe it. I want a vegan. I'm gonna, you didn't tell me this had meat in it. I can't believe it. She's yelling and people are around the restaurant looking at her and she's turning beet red. I don't put anything in my body. That's not healthy. And I said, look, darling, it doesn't matter what you eat or don't eat. The fact that you're an asshole means you're going to die really soon. And she looks at me, I go, look, you're so uptight. Don't you think all this stress and anxiety is taking years off your life? Obviously, that was the end of the date. For her, I stayed and had the veal parmesan, just so you know. Thanks for watching.
So Uncle Kevin was making the point there, if you picked up on it, that basically the secret of living longer is to just not take things so serious. You have to kind of relax and not care so much about stuff. And it's not healthy to be fanatical about things that a lot of people have become fanatical about. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't be vegan or there's anything wrong with that lifestyle choice. That wasn't the point of the video. The point is that's just an example of how someone was creating more problems for themselves and for everyone else in the environment, basically because they were clinging to a idea or belief system to the point where they were, whatever the food was, could not have been more harmful than that emotional reaction. What do you think, Alicia?
I agree. That soup did not hurt that lady one bit. It pro all the worst it gave her was probably more antioxidants, and from the chicken, a natural variety of penicillin, which she obviously probably needed after eating that, I guess. But it was hilarious because here, Mr. Trudeau took this lady to a very nice, very classic, high-end restaurant at the time, because I hear that's what he did when he dated somebody way back when. And so she had this great atmosphere, and it was probably top of the line, very organically made. So she was fine. Her reaction, however, is typical of when the vegan movement started. There were a lot of what he calls Nazi vegans running around in the mid-1980s. However, I've never met any. The vegan and vegetarian friends I have, they're really cool about things like that. They would not have reacted that way because eating something that you don't know the entire ingredients of, they themselves would tell you you're taking a risk and that she should have asked more depthly exactly what was in the soup before even trying it.
Yeah, so it's a classic example, and I guess the veganism has made a resurgence in recent years, in the last couple of decades, and I've seen it on social media. I've seen some very interesting stuff. We'll have to get onto it again. I don't have an issue with the vegan diet myself, or any kind of diet, but I don't think it's good to be dogmatic about it. So let's now talk about the following mode mentality, and that is related to what happened in the solar eclipse. We have a little clip here from Mark Hamilton that we're going to play, and then I think Alicia has a few things to mention. And this clip from Mark is on the root causes of pretty much all problems that we have today in the world. And it's not a very long clip. It's only about 3 minutes. And I'm loving these Mr. Hamilton clips that we're starting to see on his social media account. So listen here to Mark Hamilton, and then we'll come back for some commentary from Alicia and myself, and then we'll move on to the next topic in terms of current events and what's happening in the world.
Mr. Hamilton, what is the biggest problem in the world today?
Well, I can give you the root cause of all problems today. Would you like to hear that?
Yeah.
2 to 3,000 years ago, man lived with a different mentality than we have today. It was called the bicameral mentality. And man heard the voices of the gods. It's an audio hallucination. Or the pharaohs, for example, heard the higher gods, and whatever the pharaoh said, man would follow the man god, the pharaoh. Or the oracles would hear the gods, and whatever the oracles told man, man would follow. Or man would hear voices in his head. His own god is Ka, and he would hear that and he would just follow. It was nature's guidance system of the animal man. Now, about 2 to 3,000 years ago, we made a leap into human consciousness where we began to be able to guide ourselves, make our own decisions. And there's a big history around that, the metaphor and opening the inner mind space and so on and so forth. But the thing is, today we are still plagued with a residual from the bicameral mentality. I call it the following mode. And everyone absorbed the following mode from the world around them, starting with their parents when they were little babies, before they even became conscious. They absorbed through mimic learned reactions the following mode. And that's what holds us back today. Each person is individually held back in their careers, at life in general. They never tap into the real powerful creativity every human being has up here. They don't tap into that great creativity. A few do. You have these Elon Musk and these people with this incredible creativity. But most of us don't have that. And it's because we're handicapped mentally from the following mode. It's a residual of the bicameral mentality. Also, society as a whole is suppressed. Our standard of living is suppressed because society as a whole is caught in this following mode, and there's an opposite and equal reaction to that, and it's called our leaders, our political leaders. And they suppress us and they take advantage, they take full advantage of our following mode, and their policies are pushing us down and suppressing our standard of living. So if you want to know more about this, go to the NeoThink Mentality playlist on my YouTube channel. I give you the actual turnkey tools and techniques to break free of the following mode, both individually in your life, so you can soar with creativity on your path to success. And I also provide civilization, society as a whole, to the tools and techniques to break free of our harmful leaders who are suppressing us. See you there.
So that is a great thing to do. Go to YouTube and search Mark Hamilton NeoThink, and you'll be able to find that, his channel, and be able to find that playlist. And before I segue to Alicia here, just to kind of set you up for some talking points here, Alicia, the big thing that's going on right now, besides the solar eclipse, that was just kind of a momentary thing. But the bigger thing that's, and we talked a lot about it in our last episode, the bigger thing that's going on this year is the 2024 presidential election in the case of the United States. But also, if you look around the world, it's a super election year. These are some stats that we have on the screen from Statista. And these are the countries in blue here where a national election is or was held in 2024. And you can see there's a lot going on. And the reason why people get all excited in different ways, for better or worse, about elections is basically it's still the vestige of this following mode mentality that Mark Hamilton was talking about. And we're going to hear a little bit more from Mark here in a moment. We have some very short clips regarding politics and elections and that kind of thing. But before we get into it, let's see what Alicia wants to add to the conversation here, and then we'll come back and hear a little bit from Mark as well.
Well, what I thought was interesting for the super election year, looks like all of Asia was having an election year and India had the biggest election. Wow. Well, they are having a high population there. They're running neck to neck with China in the population, according to the statistics. And so they probably had to count a whole lot of ballots. And speaking of counting a whole lot of ballots, segueing back to the United States, this is the 60th presidential election for the election season of 2024. And Americans, according to the chatter, are worried about in November, the presidential election when they go to vote. They're wondering, will it be rigged? They're also wondering, what candidate is good to vote for? And many claim that they're not going to vote. Wow. Why? Because they're still upset from 2020 election. Some of them even heard that not all the ballots were counted and that some states just finished counting their ballots from 2020. And this has created a lot of negative chatter regarding the election season 2024. But I think there's ways of looking at this a little bit better. How about you, Josh?
Absolutely. And we're gonna talk about it. So real quickly here, we're going to play a couple clips from Mark, and then we will come back with some more of our perspective. The first clip is going to talk about how we are united, contrary to what people think. The political class basically fears that we're going to realize that, as many of us here kind of already have. And each political party has a main focus. We'll hear from Mark on that. Doesn't really matter, Democrats or Republicans. You've probably heard that before, but you maybe haven't heard what you're about to hear. And even how can we end racism, which has strong roots in the political party, racism, classism, that whole political party systems. And then we have a surprise solution for you. Alicia's going to present something, and I'll just keep that here for a moment. So let's now switch to some videos here from Mark Hamilton. So just some short clips, starting with We Are United. And you might have to turn your volume up or down. I noticed that my player wasn't turned up all the way.
The lack of unity in America is a massive illusion. Americans as a whole, minus the very few with the criminal mind, all want the same thing: prosperity for themselves and their loved ones. We are all united in that reality. But the horrors of our political class pit us against each other for political power and glory. George Washington, the father of our country, implored the nation to never form political parties because all the energy will eventually go toward winning power for your party. The people will become less and less a consideration. And today, we see he was 100% correct.
Yep, that is the case.
Which side is right, Republicans or Democrats? If we give the Democrats power, they lead us towards socialism. If we give the Republicans power, religion starts to tie into government as we head towards a church state. No side is right, because at the end of the day, they are fighting for more power and control over the individual, over your life. I am fighting to free it. Go ahead and follow if you want to discover the golden world, hidden from us for thousands of years by those who want to control you.
And now we're going to tie it into the essence of things here with one more clip from Mark.
Mr. Hamilton, how do we end racism?
Well, that's actually quite simple. Look, the way people look at racism today are these groups, these minority groups. And let me tell you, the politicians use that for voting leverage, all right? Now, what is the smallest minority of all the minority groups? Who is the smallest minority? It's the individual, minority of one. That is the smallest minority, and we learn to protect the individual through something I call the prime law. We protect the individual, racism is gone because everyone is equally protected. If you want to know more about the prime law, go to neothink.com, sign up for the newsletter.
And that's a good thing to do if you haven't done it already. Now let's segue back to Alicia here.
Yes, I just love what Mark Hamilton shared. And also, I learned from him in this book here, The New World. Yes, I'm showing it, The New World book, that the ideal candidate, that type that we all should be voting for, and I'm agreeing here, is someone that is all for a protection-only government, also pro the individual, and will definitely lead this country into a way in that the individual matters the most. And it is very exciting. And also, I learned about the prime law from this book, which is really so thrilling. It's so thrilling. I have to share it to you. I'm going to read it right out of this book for you, because the ideal candidate should be the one pushing this. The prime law, the fundamental law of protection, preamble. The purpose of human life is to prosper and live happily. The function of government is to provide the conditions that let individuals fulfill that purpose. The prime law guarantees those conditions by forbidding the use of initiatory force, my apologies for misreading, initiatory force, fraud, or coercion by any person or group against any individual, property, or contract. Article 1, no person, group of persons, or government shall initiate force, threat of force, or fraud against any individual, self, property, or contract. Article 2. Force is morally and legally justified only for protection from those who violate Article 1. Article 3. No exceptions shall exist for Articles 1 and 2. And there's an adorable, wonderful character in this book, The New World by Mark Hamilton, named Daniel Ward. And he is a polit he's I wouldn't call him a politician, but in this book, he is known for running for president and winning an election. And he was the kind of candidate that said, hey, we need to do this. We need to implement the Prime Law as the 28th Amendment. And this book explains a little bit about how that is possible and how that the government can change to protection only and pro the individual. And it has a great message towards the end about a lot that could be changed for the better for everyone here in the United States. And it's called Danny's Message, and it's from Daniel Ward. And if you're curious now as to what Daniel Ward's message is in this book, because he's the ideal candidate type that we all should be voting for, in my opinion, please go ahead and read this great read, The New World by Mark Hamilton.
And that Prime Law that Alicia was reading, if you want to learn more about that and deeper into the thought process behind it, you can go to curetoaging.com. Mark has an open letter here. Mark Hamilton has an open letter here to the Billionaire Club. It's very short. And he's basically appealing to longevity enthusiasts. And he's got this new idea that he's presenting. And there's lots of articles on here. And even in the first article, if you scroll down, he's basically proposing creating a new country based on the Prime Law. So you can find that there if you're looking for it. And also, you'll get the rationale behind all of this. And you'll also get other ideas besides just creating a new country, such as what Daniel Ward did, as Alicia was talking about, the process of depoliticizing. So it's not just a fluffy idea. There's a lot to back that up. It's quite a breakthrough. And many of us here, listening, viewing, we're drinking the Kool-Aid, as I like to say, and subscribing to it because we want to see things like the end of racism and all these different problems, as Mark Hamilton was saying. And it has to do with the individual. The individual, as Mark said, is the minority of one. If we cannot protect the individual, we cannot protect anyone, any minority group or otherwise. So make sure that you get that book, The New World, that Alicia was talking about. And if you already have it, make sure you dig into it. And if you haven't, if you have, loved ones, maybe pass it along to them as well. Let them read it and maybe talk about it together. It could be some good conversation for your loved ones and family members.
Yes,
Now,
it's an excellent read. I'm agreeing with you, Joshua. However, read the book for yourself and make up your own mind, because that's what we all have the freedom to do, is make up our own minds as to which way we want to go, as well as which candidate we wish to vote for.
oh, I thought you were going to say, if you're not with us, you're against us.
Hey, I'm not one of them, dare I say it, people that actually say that. My goodness, no. We don't roll like that. However, we hope you will want to join us when into a new world concept.
Yeah, and the new world, it does basically kind of paint the picture of more of the desired reality, which we will kind of segue into here in a moment. But before we do that, we need to talk about the current situation and the globalist agenda to eliminate the useless eaters, as many of you are aware of. But maybe there's some kind of a unique perspective here that you don't have, which could again help you kind of keep calm and relax. So you can extend your life and just kind of enjoy the process as we basically move through the evolution that we spoke about last week and head into this new world. So I got another clip here from Uncle Kevin. This one's a little bit shorter.
We need to eliminate a billion worthless eaters on the planet. This is why China now is the manufacturing capital of the world. You can kill them off, but realistically, if there was a mass die-off of people via some epidemic or something like that, people would be scratching their head. I'm going to reveal something that you've never heard before, but this is what has gone on when I was in the Bilderberg Group.
We're telling you the things that they don't want you to know that will make your life better.
Eliminate from the planet. So depopulation has always been touted as something that the privileged elite want to do. They want to depopulate. And when COVID came out, they said, see, they're going to wipe out 1 billion people. Well, it didn't happen. For 50 years and longer, by the way, this goes back to the 20s, there have been conspiracy theorists who have been saying that the global elites want to depopulate the planet. Every single year that we've been keeping records, every single year, let's just say since 1900, every single year, the population has increased in number. So if the globalists want to depopulate the planet, when is it going to start? Every single year, the population on planet Earth has gone up. So when does the depopulation start? And so I'm going to reveal something that you've never heard before. But this is what has gone on when I was in the Bilderberg Group. The plan is not to eliminate 1 billion people from the planet and depopulate the planet. The plan is to eliminate useless eaters. In other words, when that privileged elite made that statement, which is on tape, we need to eliminate 1 billion worthless eaters on the planet. That's true. Because a useless eater is not earning money, and they're not a consumer. The key is not depopulating the planet. The key is eliminating the useless eaters and actually increasing the number of consumers. In other words, take people out of poverty, raise their level, raise their economic standard so that they're earning enough money, they no longer become a useless eater. That's how you eliminate useless eaters. You don't kill them off. Clearly, that's one option, but it's never been done. But you don't kill them off. What you do is you raise their economic standard so they become consumers. The globalist plan is to eliminate useless eaters. Yes, either by killing them off, but that doesn't help. It does in one respect because you get rid of the useless eaters, according to the globalists. And this is not me. But more importantly than eliminating that group is to increase the number of consumers. This is why China now is the manufacturing capital of the world. And this is why the standard of living in England and all throughout Europe and Canada, Australia, New Zealand, America has been declining since the Second World War. It peaked in the 60s and early 70s, after the Second World War, for America, for example, because we were the dominant manufacturer. Before the Second World War, actually before the First World War, the dominant manufacturer in the world was England. That's why the sun never set on the British Empire. They were the most powerful nation in the world because they were the number one manufacturing nation in the world. Manufacturing is the key. The globalists moved manufacturing to China. I remember when Ross Perot was running for president as an independent third party against Bill Clinton and Bush. They were talking about NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. And Ross Perot, who's a businessman, who was a billionaire, said, if you pass NAFTA, there's going to be a great sucking sound. Jobs and manufacturing are going to leave America and go to Canada and Mexico. And every economist and all the eggheads on CNN and NBC and ABC and CBS and the BBC and all the news organizations around the world, you know, they went to Columbia, they went to Yale, they went to Harvard, they live in a bubble in New York or Washington, D.C. or L.A., and they look at you through the camera and you can see it. They're thinking, you know, you are so dumb. I'm so much smarter than you. That's what they're saying to you. And they go, this is a good thing, NAFTA. Well, Ross Perot was exactly right. there was a great sucking sound. Jobs in manufacturing moved out of the U.S. into Canada and Mexico. And they're moving out mostly to China. And they're going to move out to India and Brazil and other third world countries, Malaysia, Philippines, et cetera, et cetera. So the plan is to move manufacturing into these third world nations, and Africa is going to be on the plan down the road. And you take these useless eaters and you put them in factories. Now they're earning a good living and now they become consumers. So the globalist plan is to increase the number of consumers. And if you can't do that, yeah, you can kill them off. But realistically, if there was a mass die-off of people via some epidemic or something like that, people would be scratching their head. So that's not the ideal scene. The ideal scene, and I'll show you here in a minute, is to get people to die off naturally to reduce, for the population, the average lifespan, which is happening.
And we've got one, we're kind of running out of time, so we'll have to skip a couple things that we wanted to show you. But we've got a clip here from Mark Hamilton on the meaning of life, which is going to kind of segue us into some of the actions we can be taking. And here's a short clip again from Mark. This is so short and simple, but it is really powerful.
Mr. Hamilton, what's the meaning of life?
Well, the meaning of life is quite simple, actually. It's not confusing. The meaning of life is achieving happiness. That is the meaning of life. Now, do you want to know how to achieve happiness?
Yeah.
All right, then. We are human beings. We have the only mind on the planet that can create values. Therefore, that is our essence. Our essence is to create values. So when we create values, we are achieving our essence, we are in harmony with our essence, and we will experience happiness. The more we create values, the more happiness we will experience and feel, the more pride we'll feel, and the more reflection, positive reflection that we will get from society, from our loved ones, and from the world at large.
Wow, that's pretty powerful and really packs a punch there. The meaning of life is happiness, and you create happiness by creating values. With that said, Alicia, I think we're going to segue into our more of our closing segment here so we can stay on schedule with our program today. Let's talk about some of the actions we can take. And I think we got a hint at a few of them today. One of them is keep calm and relax and don't be worried about eclipses. And we didn't even talk about climate change today. Don't worry about the elections and all that hysteria. Don't worry about the globalist agenda to the point where you're being like the vegan person that is causing more harm to themselves by doing what's called negative goal setting with worry and doubt and that kind of stuff. But in addition to that, what other things could we be thinking about, Alicia? You did talk about the new world.
Yes. And Mark Hamilton mentioned, be happy. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of excellent songs, you know, be happy kind of thing. I'm all for being happy 24/7. It's a choice and I choose happiness. Also, we have a treasure trove of knowledge we would like to share with you, including Make Your Life Better by learning Mark Hamilton's quality of life improvement techniques and business secrets. Also, new techniques for becoming a superior self leader, value creation secrets. Yes, there's all sorts of ways you can learn to be a value creator even better than what you currently are. And these secrets also help one break away from the ordinary and be extraordinary. I'm all for being extraordinary. And we also want to invite you to Joshua, take it away.
Yeah. So regarding the meaning of life being happiness and value creation being the way that you can create that happiness, let's talk about some of the actions you can take. Last week, we talked about pure love. You'll probably hear us talking about that more as time goes on. Neo-think is a mentality as opposed to that following mode mentality that you can adopt and go deeper into and embody that code of living and thinking. You'll hear more about that as time goes on. You can also focus on not just learning about the new world, but focus on building it in terms of the values that you're creating. A lot of that action for many of us here is happening at neothink.io. You can go there to learn more. And one of the things that we're doing in that environment is we're playing what we call a value creation game. So value creation can happen in a few different ways. And we've designed a game to make the process of becoming the greatest value creator you can be a lot easier and more fun. And we have two elements to our game based on the two fundamental movements of life, where you have the virtuously selfish movement, where you always have to be improving yourself for the better and helping your loved ones, those close to you. And then you have the virtuously selfless movement of improving society for the better, which is normally done through some source of value creation. And ideally, these things would go together. So in our game, you can enjoy the pure entertainment of learning something new that may help you. Continuously learning is very important for your quality of life. But just learning it and not doing it, you know, to know and not to do is not to know. So you can enjoy true enlightenment by applying something new that you've been learning so that it is helping you. And then that's where a lot of people stop. To really empower yourself and others, you have to share or teach something that is or has helped you. And that's exactly what we do in our game. On Tuesdays, we come together on Zoom and go into breakout rooms, focusing on improving yourself for the better. On Thursdays, our theme is improving society for the better. And we basically go into our breakout rooms of 5 to 6 people. Each person gives a 5-minute or less presentation where they are sharing or teaching something. If it's Tuesday, it's about improving yourself. If it's Thursday, it's about improving society. And then after everyone presents, your breakout group will begin to assign value to all of what was presented. What was the most valuable thing, the second most valuable thing, and we have points and tokens that we're assigning to. And that's basically what the game is. It's very well integrated and we're continuously evolving and improving it. So you can get that. You can learn more about that if you go to neothink.io and join us there. And once again, we want to give a great thank you and round of applause to Mark Hamilton for everything he's done to bring us solutions to improve ourselves and society for the better, and to everyone here who's moving forward with that base of knowledge. So that is NeoThink today. I'm going to hand it back to Alicia to close us out for this segment, and we'll join you on the next one.
Thank you so much, Joshua, and thank you to each and every one of you for being here with us today. As our NeoThink Today journey ends, let's take a moment to reflect on the enlightening discussion we've shared. We have learned we have shared from less stressful ways to view the 2024 election season to the globalist agenda, and we revisited about the total solar eclipse and energies and who met who and fell in love. And we also learned about the power of calm and that happiness is very important. We've also delved into all sorts of other illuminating topics that illuminated the intersection of innovation and knowledge right here on NeoThink Today. Throughout our exploration, Joshua and I have been immensely grateful for your stalwart viewership. Thank you so much. Your dedication to expanding your understanding and embracing new ideas fuels our passion for bringing you thought-provoking content today and each week. Let's remember that the pursuit of knowledge is an infinite adventure. Let's continue to push boundaries, challenge conventions, and nurture our curiosity. Together, we are architects of the future, shaping a world defined by innovation and unlimited potential. Thank you for joining us on this journey. Be sure to join us next week for another insight-filled episode of NeoThink Today. Until then, stay inspired, stay curious, and keep seeking the extraordinary in the ordinary. With knowledge as our compass, we can navigate any frontier. Have a great week.